The Injured Senior Podcast is here to help. Like it or not, the senior and elderly population is vulnerable to negligence committed by medical professionals, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, pharmaceutical and medical device companies, insurance companies, and everyday individuals and businesses. Your host, Steve Heisler, creator of the National Injured Senior Law Center, has been advocating for seniors' rights for over 30 years and is bringing you answers to your questions. This is the Injured Senior Podcast.
This is Steve Heisler, and I am talking with Dr. Sam Sugar about how to prevent a guardianship from occurring to a senior or elderly. You're listening to the Injured Senior Podcast. Dr. Sugar, you also mention in your book that if you are a senior or elderly, to avoid making visits to banks, brokerages, or credit unions. My question is, obviously, you know, there's a method to the madness, and I guess, you know, it's to avoid, someone from one of those institutions from maybe thinking, oh, this person is not all about their wits, and they're making bad money decisions, so I'm going to call Adult Protective Services. Is that accurate?
Sure. It is, and let me demonstrate by example. I was involved a year or two ago with an attorney, actually, who was representing an elderly person who was being visited by her grandson, who was going to college. The elderly woman took her grandson to her local bank, where she wrote papers, a withdrawal slip, to give a check from the bank to her grandson to help cover his college tuition. The amount is really not relevant, but it happened to be $10,000, which, if you have any kids in college, you realize is just a drop in the bucket to pay college tuition these days. One of the officers in the bank decided it was her responsibility under FINRA, the new rules from the FINRA administration, which oversees financial institutions, that she thought something hinky was going on and notified the police, notified Adult Protective Services, which resulted in a near arrest of both the grandmother and the grandson. And of course, there was nothing hinky going on. But I use this example to demonstrate that the financial professionals who you used to think were your friends, because after all, you know, they give you a lollipop or something when you deposit money or a dog treat, these people have now been essentially deputized to be the eyes and ears of law enforcement when, for whatever reason they can imagine, imaginary or not, they believe that you're being taken advantage of. You can just imagine the door that opens up for abuse and exploitation. Now, this is not to say that abuse and exploitation don't take place and that there are some hinky things going on. There are. But that's the world we live in. And the real threat behind all of these interventions is that you may wind up in a guardianship because you wanted to be generous to your grandson.
Well, then what do you do? I mean, to just write the check? In other words, you know, if you want to give money to your, you know, to a family member or a grandchild, yeah, you can. I guess the idea is to have a checking account so you can write a check or.
That's right. The idea is to be able to transfer money easily, and nowadays it's very simple, even if you're not very technical or sophisticated. Direct wire transfers. Cash works very well, although everybody understands the problem with cash these days. But just writing a check, I can't imagine people not having checking accounts in this day and age.
Yeah.
But the important message is not how you want to give money, but to be aware that the very act of giving money can put you yourself at risk of something really unpleasant and horrifying.
Yeah.
So the idea is to be aware. and no. to know your banker and to know your financial institutions. But this can come from a bank, it can come from a broker, it can come from almost any place. Because nowadays, Adult Protective Services is being used as the initial contact for almost anything that appears to be out of order with an elderly person. And by the way, it's not just elderly people, it's everybody who might be vulnerable.
Right.
And
right.
their ultimate cudgel, if they press, is to put you in a guardianship. And that's a horrible thing.
Yeah. You also mentioned that our listeners should put their homes in joint tenancy or all their assets in joint tenancy. Can you briefly explain why?
Yeah, the idea of joint tenancy is it's an imperfect idea because joint tenancy doesn't mean that either signatory on the account actually also owns the assets. There have been court cases and decisions that reject that notion. However, it is harder for a court, for a judge in probate, to take over an account that has joint tenancy. It's much easier for the court to take control over an account with only one signatory. It can be done with joint signatories, but it is harder. And it is just one other of the steps that are necessary, unfortunately, in this environment to try and reduce the likelihood that your assets will be seized, even if it's not you that's being put in a guardianship. The power of the probate court is far greater than almost anyone realizes, not just to take away your civil rights, which is horrible, of course, and constitutionally invalid, in my opinion, but also to put you in the poorhouse as well. Because if your assets are all under one account, and let's say you're the wife of a gentleman who's declared incapacitated and the house is in his name, the checking account is his name. When the court seizes all of that stuff, what are you going to live on? How will you pay your bills?
Yeah.
It's not just the one person. It's the spouse. It's the children. It's the grandchildren. When the grandfather or grandmother has an account for which they're helping pay for their children's mortgage, or they're helping pay tuition, or helping with car payments. I mean, nowadays, especially in this pandemic, families are helping each other because there's no choice. But if that account disappears and goes under the complete control of the court or a guardian, what's going to happen to all the people that are being assisted by that individual and their money? It's a serious problem, which is another reason to avoid guardianships at any cost.
Yeah, thank you for that, Dr. Sugar. It's just so important to make sure that your assets are titled in joint tenancy, and that's something also that you can talk about with your estate planner. So, Dr. Sugar, you have a symposium coming up on April 11th of 2021, is that correct?
Yes, thank you so much for bringing that up. Yes, indeed, we are having a symposium on guardianship sponsored by our organization, Americans Against Abuse of Probate Guardianship. It's on April 11th and 12th. It's a two-day session where we're bringing in experts from academia, law enforcement, the victim community, politicians, hopefully. And we are going to have a thorough discussion about the problems associated with guardianship on the first session, which will be April 11th in the evening. And day two will be dedicated to progress and moving forward with solutions to deal with this issue. It will be a virtual event, And people can get details and tickets for the symposium as well as register for it at our website, www.aaapg.net. And the public is invited, particularly the naive public, that may not know enough about this to protect themselves or to deal with it should it happen to them or a loved one. It is going to be an important symposium, especially now that we're seeing some momentum from politicians to recognize the danger this poses to their constituents as well. So we're hopeful for an increasingly large audience. This is our fifth major symposium from AAAPG, and your listeners are more than welcome to join.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, and I am definitely going to be a part of that virtual audience. So we're really looking forward to it, Dr. Sugar. Listen, I want to thank you again for just a wealth of very important tips on the topic of preventing a guardianship. I really, really am very thankful for you giving us your time today, Dr. Sugar. Now, if somebody wants to maybe converse with you privately, could they send you an email if they have a potential guardianship situation that they're not sure about how to go about fighting it?
So the good news is, the answer is yes. What we've done at AAAPG is to create a national network of advocates. As I mentioned earlier, all of these issues are state-based. And so while I am intimately familiar with the Florida statutes, because that's where I live, I don't know much about the Oklahoma statutes or the Nebraska statutes. So what we've tried to do is to create a national network of advocates who are familiar with the issue in their own states. And when people do contact me, I will likely take their basic information and the issues about which they're contacting me and pass them on to a local advocate or expert in the area in question, who can then respond based on the information that they've learned over the years from me and other advocates, and try to respond in an intelligent way. As long as everyone understands we're not lawyers and we cannot give legal advice and we will not recommend attorneys. It's a very slippery slope to do any of those things, but we will be available to listen, which is probably the most important part, and to let people know that they're not alone, and to give advice based on the experience that each of our advocates has had.
That's great news. Yeah, that's really important. And you're not going to recommend an attorney, but you can, I guess, or you just can give them the names of a couple different attorneys that might have experience in this.
It all depends. In states like Florida and California and Michigan, where there's just such an enormous number of cases, and there are a few lawyers that have proven to be trustworthy and reliable, of course. But in states like Utah, for example, because there are so very, very few abusive guardianships, not none, mind you, not none, we have a couple, but we might not have the names or be familiar with any of those. The point is, what we're looking to do is give people the assistance that we can to navigate a very opaque system that is different in every, not only every state, but it's different in every judicial circuit in every state as well. Here in Florida, there are 67 counties with 19 circuits, and each one of them has its own peculiarities and characteristics, and it takes a real intimacy from that area and within that area to be able to give reasonable advice. So that's the reason we set up the network, and be happy to try to help anybody who really needs it.
That's coming full circle. That's even more of a reason not to get, you know, to do everything in your power to prevent a guardianship and not be in a situation where you have been placed under the guardianship, and then you really are gonna face some trouble. All right, Dr. Sugar. Well, it's as I said, it's great to have you. We will be talking to you soon, and you have yourself a great day.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure indeed.
Injured Senior and Aging Population Community, thanks for listening to today's episode. I want to thank again Dr. Sam Sugar for appearing on the show today with his great encyclopedia of information. If you love the Injured Senior podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on your favorite podcast platform. If you want to share your story about any type of guardianship or any other type of medical negligence that you'd like to talk about your experience, feel free to email me at steve@injuredseniorhotline.com or go to our website, www.injuredseniorpodcast.com, and you can leave a message by going to the website. It's been a great episode. It's great to have you here today. Until next time, I am so looking forward to next week's show. Stay safe, and I will talk to you soon. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Injured Senior Podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please rate, subscribe, review, and share on Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Connect with us at InjuredSeniorPodcast.com and sign up for our newsletter. To find out more or to get help at any time, visit InjuredSeniorPodcast.com or call 855-622-6530. That's 855-622-6530.